Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are times that I wonder what goes through the minds of those who sat on the committee to come up with the lectionary. Apparently, they did not believe that very many people would be in church on Christmas Day, because this would be the normal gospel lesson for that day, which means I preached on it less than 2 weeks ago, and here it is again. Now, that's not to say that there's nothing else to say about John 1, and certainly that is not the case. However, I'm going to take my the privilege to find a different text, because I think at this time of the year it also fits well. So if you are so intrigued, it is not imprinted on the back of your bulletin, but you do have a Bible in front of you, and hopefully. If you do, it will be found on page 183. If you happen to be one who is tuned in to such things and you have a Bible on your phone or on your tablet, feel free to do that. Please do not use this as an opportunity to play Angry Birds. This is indeed a new day. Things that, of course, are seen in a different light. I grew up in a time when in some churches you scored points on how big and heavy your Bible was and whether or not you had marks in the margins. Those are not the kinds of things that we do in this day and age. I'm trying to learn. I put out very seldom Facebook posts, but I did the other day. I sent a note to Chris Berger, who of course likes to remind us that he is a graduate of Ohio State. It turns out he missed the game because he was serving our church as the secretary of the ELCA in Dresden. So he didn't even see the game, but he, of course, got the score afterwards. I had to inform him, though, that when it came to the national championship, I'm going Pac-12. So go Ducks. The Bucks can fend for themselves, but go Ducks. Okay. So there we go. There was a member of the church council at Magnolia who was also very proudly one who would always wear his green tie when Oregon played. So he commented as well. To go back to Ephesians, this is a reminder, especially at this time, that as you know, New Year's Day is not particularly a church and holiday, but it's one that we cannot escape. Especially if you happen to live in a place where people think it's still fine to shoot off and fire crackers. Our house in Federal Way is literally a block or two away from the county line, which means on that side in North Tacoma, it's okay to shoot off and fireworks. As it is, there are other things that go on. We always take the opportunity to look back and to look ahead. There was an opportunity to send in your hoped-for headline for the year 2015 to the Seattle Times, and they had a bunch of interesting ones. It doesn't take long before, well, even before the election results of 2014 had been certified, before there were all kinds of those who were weighing in on exactly what does this mean for the year to come and even the next election in 2016. So we are caught up in this thing of what is this year going to hold for us? And you know what the answer is? We don't know. We will find out as it unfolds one day at a time, but that does not mean that we do this alone or in a vacuum or somehow that we are left to our own devices. We have a God that loves us too much for that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In that one sentence, this writer, and we're pretty sure it's not the real Paul. The real Paul, of course, we can identify through his and letters to places that we know that he was concerned about. So that's Galatians and Corinthians. But this particular writer, who would be a nightmare for any English teacher, in diagram the following sentence here, goes on and on with these thoughts that tumble over one over another as they tie back and forth in and out of each other. And yet it's wonderful. It gives us an idea of all kinds of things that would be important for us to know in this new year. We know here what God does for us. It is said that he has blessed us in Christ. He has chosen us in Christ. He has destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ. That God has already, in God's work, claimed us for his own. And then there are things that he gives to us. Things that because of his work in Jesus Christ, we carry with us into the new year. In him, we have the redemption through his blood. In him, the forgiveness of our trespasses. And he has made known to us the mystery of his will. Not all of it, but enough to know that God is up to something and that we are a part of that. And that we know what God intends to do at the end of time. To gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance. This is one of the things about the fact that we receive communion. This is our inheritance laid out as a testament, as it were. A last will and testament that was given to us on the night in which he was betrayed, that Jesus knew what was going to happen, and at his death, we receive what he once had. The forgiveness, the righteousness, all of those things that have been laid out for us through Christ's death. This is our inheritance. We do not enter the new year with empty hands, but have been given much in Jesus Christ. Well, it also shows us a few things about God. This God is not a stingy God, not one who sort of says, well, everybody have one cookie first, and then we'll see if there's anything more at the end of it after everybody's had a chance to go through. This is not our God. Our God is a God who is generous and gracious and one who gives in ways that are just unlimited ways. He blesses us with every spiritual blessing. He freely bestows his glorious grace on us. The forgiveness is given to us according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. And all wisdom and insight is given to us according to his good and pleasure, who accomplishes all things according to his will. God loves to give. There may be times in the year to come when we think that we are alone, or that somehow we're only going to sort of muddle through, or perhaps we are only going to perhaps get by the skin of our teeth. The riches and spiritual blessings that God gives have no end, because God is one who is gracious beyond anything that we have ever known before. God is also not constrained by time and space. We're going to have to see this thing unfold day by day, bit by bit. But for God, who began this thing back before the foundations of the world, it says, he had this in mind. So from the beginning to the end, when all of these things are tied up together, and right here in the middle of it, someplace, is 2015. Only 365 days against thousands and thousands of years of human experience, and who knows how many yet to come. God is not constrained. God is the eternal one, as my Jewish friends would say, one who does not exist in a way that God is going to have to sort of wait and see how this is all going to work out. God has a purpose to this whole thing, and to our life as well. God's intention is that we be adopted and as his and children to the praise of his glorious grace. That particular phrase in verse 5 we find again in verse 12, that those who were the first to set our hope and such as the writer here might live for the praise of his glory. And that phrase again is applied to us, that we, who later on hear and believe in him, that we receive the pledge of our inheritance to the praise of his glory. There's a purpose on why God has given us life, that we are to live in the confidence and in the joy of the fact that we have come to know Jesus Christ, and in that we have indeed been changed, that we are different people, that we have been renewed and strengthened and redeemed and forgiven and all of these things. It could be a very full year. It should be. Because these are things that we carry with us each and every day. Well, how do we know these things? Can it really be true? Here the writer still continues on. We were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, and this is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. Does the Holy Spirit work? I'm not asking, have you seen any tongues of fire above your and fellow parishioners' heads as they saw on the day of Pentecost? I'm not asking if you've seen any miracles in the last week or so. Maybe you have. They do and happen from time to time. What I'm asking is, does God speak to you? Have there been times when you have sat in those pews and heard from this particular place, from any number of and preachers, good news, things that you said to yourself, I'm glad I came today. I needed this. Or have there been times that perhaps it's been in the sharing of a Christmas carol, that you are strengthened and renewed. And maybe it is as you work on some and service project or go down and serve a meal, that and something within you stirs you to new life. That is indeed the work of the Holy Spirit. And if it happened to you, then this writer says it's the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people. 2015 will be filled with all kinds of things. I'm sure that there are challenges ahead. We'll all have our chance to have and runny noses and headaches and those things that come in their normal course. Some of us, of course, will find new kinds of afflictions to deal with. Some of us will indeed be challenged by stresses of other kinds, an economic or perhaps relational. But we do not live these kinds of things as if God is not involved. God has given himself to us in Jesus Christ, that all of these gifts might be ours for every day in 2015 and for every day to come. No wonder that we begin, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord in Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Amen.